In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 27, our scripture reading for today will be taken from this moving chapter, beginning at verse 11. And I trust that as I preach to you this morning, that you would be aware of the fact that this is the Lord's day in the Lord's house. These are some of the most solemn moments that we could ever spend together. We're going to read these verses after we pause in just a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for that which our hearts have felt by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And now as Thy word is read, and as we try to expound upon the Scriptures, may the Holy Spirit preach to us today. In the name of Him who offered Himself upon Calvary's cross for our sins, and who has loosed us from our sins in His own blood, and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus saith unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, Never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. In this series of Easter messages entitled A Cup of Wine, we have followed our Lord from Bethany to Jerusalem. We sat with him in the guest chamber of the upper room. We knelt with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I pray God this morning, we shall stand with him in the marbled walls of Pilate's courtroom. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall. It's early in the morning, the morning after the most trying night in all of the life of our Lord. During that night, the chief priests and elders have interrogated Jesus through the long and tiring hours. Now he stands bound, his hands with, and I hardly know how to say it, a chain about his neck as though he were a dog. He is led away to Pilate. I think I can say that this is the greatest perversion of justice ever recorded in the annals of the history of mankind. And my message to capture this scene I have called A Bowl of Water. Three things about Pilate are reflected in that bowl of water as Jesus stands in the praetorium before him. Three things that I believe are reflected in your life and mine. First, Pilate's predicament. Second, Pilate's power. And third and finally, Pilate's pronouncement. Let us look first then at Pilate's predicament. No one wishes to change places with this man of destiny called Pilate. Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea in the years 26 to 36 AD. Some of the most turbulent years in Israel's history. His predicament is seen in something that he said during the trial of Jesus. Here it is. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Now Pilate could release unto them that day any prisoner whom they named. The great list had been narrowed down to two, Barabbas and Jesus. Barabbas, a murderer. Barabbas, a seditioner. Barabbas, an insurrectionist, on the one hand, and on the other, Jesus, the darling Son of God. Whom shall I release unto you? And they answer, Barabbas. And if he releases unto them Barabbas, the question naturally arises, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the anointed of God? What a predicament. Jesus was on trial for his life. But beloved, I'm convinced that Pilate was just as much on trial as was Jesus. And this predicament of Pilate was complicated by the fact that he was listening that day to several voices. There was the voice of Caesar. The people had said to Pilate, if you release this man, Jesus, you are no friend of Caesar. But he is your king, said Pilate. And they chanted in unison, we have no king but Caesar. The voice of Caesar was whispering across the waves from Rome to Jerusalem, and Pilate listened to that voice. For the voice of Caesar was the voice of Pilate's own selfish ambition. The ambition of a selfish, egotistical coward to whom position and power and prestige meant far more than honor and justice and integrity. And what a commendation on our generation today. For men are willing to sell their souls for popularity, for a high place. Young people are willing to sell their souls for just a night of indiscretion. Pilate was in a predicament as he listened to the voice of Caesar. But oh, my friend, there was another voice that day, and that was the voice of the lowly Nazarene. And this was the voice of him who was the very best that God could ever offer, his only begotten Son. God in the flesh. Christ stands in Pilate's hall, and he is heard in a language that is understood to all men of every color, of every race, of every kindred, of every climate, because Christ spoke in a voice of love. And God is speaking to you in a voice of love this morning. I hear Jesus speaking to you. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the voice of love speaking to you. And a whisper of love is louder than a shout of violence. And that's not the only voice he heard. For Pilate heard the voice of his companion. Into the praetorium she comes with this word. Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things of him in a dream this day. That was the voice of reason. Beloved, I believe that was the voice of God. Through Pilate's companion. Do not lay hands upon this just man. But then, there was the voice of the crowd. The rabble rousers in the street are crying out, "Crucify him." What a motley mob that day. Jews who hated Pilate. Jews who hated Caesar. Gentiles who hated both. Would give anything that they owned to get the tyrant of Rome off their backs. And yet they said, "We have no king but Caesar. Away with this man. Crucify him. Give us a murderer. Give us a seditioner. Give us an insurrectionist. But destroy this man." That's what the voice of the crowd is crying for today. The blood of Jesus Christ. There was another voice. That was the voice of Pilate's conscience. Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" I'm convinced that that question was an outburst of a struggle that Pilate was trying to settle within the confines of his own sinful, selfish, egotistical heart. Pilate knew that Rome, with all of her military might, did not know the truth. Pilate knew that Greece, with all of her majestic splendor, did not know the truth. There's no doubt about it. Pilate knew that this rabble in the streets of Jerusalem did not know the truth, with all of their meaningless chatter. What is truth? Pilate, let me have a word with you this morning. And to any and all of the Pilates who might be here, are you listening? Pilate, Your conscience is speaking to you. And it asks, what is truth? I beg you, open your eyes, Pilate. For personified before you is the truth. The one who is bound because of falsehood is the essence of truth. For he said about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it is written, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Pilate, in a little while, truth shall be crushed and crucified on Calvary's cruel cross. But remember what the poet said, truth crushed to the earth shall rise again. But error, wounded, writhing in pain, dies among its worshippers. Too bad, Pilate, you are so blinded by error that you cannot see the truth. Say, congregation, did it ever occur to you how close Pilate was to knowing the truth? So very close. And yet, so very far away. Many today are blinded by the same covetous spirit. Many today are missing the truth only a hair's breadth. But I hasten to remind you, if you miss heaven one inch, you've missed it a million miles. If you miss heaven one second, you've missed it for eternity. And I must warn you this morning that Pilate turned a deaf ear to the voice of truth. And on that fiendish receiving set of his, he tuned God out and tuned the world in. And he would not listen to the voice of conscience or the voice of his companion or the voice of Christ, but he listened to the voice of Caesar and to the voice of the crowd. Young people, listen to me this morning. If you don't get anything out of this message but this, please listen to me. The world whispers to you in a velvet voice this morning. The world says to you, go on and do it. Don't be a square. Get in the in crowd. And if taking dope is the door into the in crowd, walk through it bravely. Don't be a sissy. Don't be a square. Don't be a coward. If strong drink is the doorway to the in crowd, walk through it. If immorality and impurity are the doorways into the in crowd, go in it. After all, everybody's doing it. That's the voice of the world that whispers to you in a velvet tone. Let me hasten to bring you to this thought, that the devil will scream at you in the voice of death. For lust, when it is finished, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a velvet voice of the world, young people, or it's a scream of death. You best listen to the voice of reason. And don't allow yourself to get in Pilate's predicament. Open your eyes. Open your mind. Open your heart. And let truth march in and take over the reins of your life. An eternity in heaven with Jesus is your reward. And if you do not, all hell without Jesus is your damnation. What a predicament Pilate was in. But then let us look at Pilate's power. There are but two powers in operation in the universe today. The power of darkness and the power of light. Pilate is a symbol of darkness. Jesus is a symbol of light. Jesus is the essence of light. About himself he said, I am the light of the world. Listen to the conversation between these two. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Don't miss the answer of Jesus. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. The power of Pilate versus the power of Jesus. Pilate's power is of this world, and it is temporal. Jesus' power is of the heavenly world, and it is eternal. Pilate's power is no stronger than Rome. Jesus' power is as strong as God himself. And he said, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Pilate's power represents what the world wants today. What does the world want today? The world wants an economic savior. The world wants a political savior. The world is crying for a social savior, for a financial savior. But hear me when I say it, God has given us a soul savior. The angel said, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it is written, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. No marvel that Paul wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Pilate's power grows weaker with every passing moment. But the power of my Pilate, P-I-L-O-T, continues to increase, and it shall continue to increase until one day he shall rule the nations of this earth with a rod of iron. The power of Pilate, 'tis nothing. It's no stronger than the world's structure. Look again into that bowl of water, and you'll see Pilate's pronouncement. Pilate announced that he was shifting the responsibility of Jesus' condemnation and death from himself to that bloodthirsty crowd. But the trouble is, Pilate, this sort of thing is not that simple. You don't get Jesus off your hands that easy. Listen to what Pilate said. When Pilate saw that nothing could prevail, or that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. While washing his hands of the predicament concerning Jesus, he was stamping and tramping under his feet the principle of justice. While winking at Caesar, he was flirting with the Jews. Pride held the reins of Pilate's heart that day. He could have released Jesus. Instead, he released his own soul to whatever fate might have in store for such a blood-hungry, blood-thirsty despot as he was. It seems to me that Pilate is twice guilty. He recognized that Jesus was innocent, yet he condemned him to die. know this morning that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know that Christ is the innocent Son of God. You know that Jesus Christ is the substitute and sacrifice for your sins. And if you reject him, you are as guilty as Pontius Pilate, the procurator of Judea, under whom Christ suffered. Paul writes this, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law was dealt with or punished or died under the hand of two or three witnesses." Of how much sorer punishment do you suppose he should be counted worthy who hath trampled underfoot the Son of God and hath made the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? If those who despise the law of Moses were stoned to death, what is your lot if you despise the law of Jesus Christ? Momentarily, Pilate got Jesus off his hands, but not off his conscience, and not out of his memory. Say, do you suppose Pilate is still washing his hands? Try as he will, he can never but never get the blood of Jesus off his hands. There's no detergent in all the world that will cleanse those bloody hands, nor can you get yours clean if you reject the Son of God. You may try 1,000 remedies, but your heart nor your hands will ever be clean from the blood of the Son of God if you reject him and refuse him as your Savior. In the Shakespearean tragedy, Macbeth, Lady Macbeth is seen in one of her moments of remorse with the blood of her innocent victims dripping from her fingers. Look how she rubs her hands. It is an accustomed action with her to seem thus washing her hands. Out, dark spot! Out, I say! What? Will these hands ne'er be clean? Here's the smell of the blood still. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand. So says Lady Macbeth. And so says your unworthy pastor this morning, that if you reject the Son of God, his blood is on your hands, and all of the sweet-smelling perfumes of Arabia and America and Africa and Asia and Europe and the islands of the sea will never wash that blood off. For you, like Pilate, will still be washing your hands. I cannot say whatever happened to Pilate. Tradition tells us that he committed suicide. Was he saved? Is he in heaven or hell? I dare not say, for I do not know. But this, beloved, I do know, that if sometime, somewhere in the days of all his life, Pontius Pilate ever turned to Christ and begged forgiveness and made a pronouncement of his faith in the Son of God, we shall see him in heaven as sure as we're here on earth. Because it's just like Jesus to forgive those who harm and hurt him. My friends in this congregation this morning, we've been talking about Pilate, haven't we? We've been talking about almost 2,000 years of history. Let's forget that for the moment. Let's talk about you. You must answer the question that Pilate asked. What then shall I do with Jesus? What will you do? You cannot avoid him. There are but two things that you can possibly do. Number one, you can receive him as your Savior. Number two, you can reject him. Neutral, you cannot be. One day, your heart, not Pilate now, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? A bowl of water. Don't dare try to wash away the sins of your life in a bowl of water, as Pilate did. But come to a fountain called Calvary and wash away your sins in a bowl of blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that stained the old rugged cross. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in whose hands are the lives of all of these people, from Pilate to this moment, help us to realize we are not in the marbled walls of Pilate's praetorium, but we are gathered here in this earthly sanctuary, Pilate's all of us, with the potential of releasing Christ unto a mad mob to crucify him. May those horses of selfishness, may those horses of tyranny, and those horses of blood shed be tamed in us this morning. May we never but never release Jesus to an angry mob. May we embrace him in our hearts by faith in his wonderful name. Should there be those without the Savior this morning, may they come to trust him. Whoever they are, whatever their station or rank in life, may they know to reject thy Son, to refuse him, to turn a deaf ear to him, is to be as guilty as Pontius Pilate in the long ago. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake, and with thanksgiving.